I'm going to go back and revisit some verses of scripture that we used as a part of our lesson before we went on our excursion. So if you have your Bibles, go with us to 2 Kings chapter 4. Thank you so much for standing for the reading of the word and honor to God's word today. I want to go back and talk about this Shunammite woman. This is Mother's Day, and I always enjoy focusing on the subject of mother on a day such as this, simply because the Lord chose the position of mother to also be represented in the church, his bride. And I am happy today to talk about a great mother and a great church. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to read verse 8, 9, and 10. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated and the Lord bless you. I want to talk today on this wonderful Mother's Day on the subject of a great woman. Praise the Lord. A great woman. It came to pass, or it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Everybody say a great woman. I use this lady as part of our Bible lesson three, four Sundays ago, however long it's been. And I used her as a part of the subject where we were talking about being generous with God. And, of course, we know that this woman had a great spirit of generosity in her life. And we talked about the privileges that she enjoyed, the blessings, the miracle that she had as a result of this. But I want to focus in on her and who she was and what she was. And, of course, you know that it will not be easy for me today to just talk about mothers in the physical sense, because I am confident that there is a mother, the Bible teaches us, Jerusalem, that is above. She is the mother of us all. And if you have been born again of water and spirit, you can thank a spiritual mother for that taking place in your life. Amen. We had the many things that were said about mothers today and how many of the mothers could identify with every single aspect of that essay that we heard here this morning. Everything from, what was that? That was called barf laced with Oscar Mayer wieners and the color of pink or red Kool-Aid. Amen. That's quite a picture to see. And when kids start hurling weenies, then that's a pretty gross thing to have to look at. But nevertheless, we've all seen it. We've all viewed that. And we thank God that mothers were there to take care of those kinds of situations. Amen. Aren't you happy, daddies, that there was a mama there to help us out at such a time as that? I mean, it's like, you know, we could quote to our wives or to the mothers. We could say to them like Mordecai said to Esther, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. This is your hour. And the Lord said one time, this is your hour. And so mothers shine whenever they are taking care of babies. Praise the Lord. I had the express privilege of changing two diapers in the course of raising three children. And I learned in a hurry that I just wasn't called to change diapers. Amen. I just was not. I admire some men that can change diapers. God bless them. I watched Brother Paul in and out of the church several times. I said, God bless that guy. He knows he is blessed. His wife trained him well. I think she did a great job training him. But my wife figured that I was just too hard to train. So she said, just leave it alone. I'll do it myself. I'll never forget. She came home one night and she said, what is this? I said, I changed the baby's diaper. She said, but you didn't do it right. I said, I did the best I could, because all I did was rip the old one off and I took the other one and just folded it up and put a pair of rubber breeches over the top of it and said, forget the pins. I'm not that agile. I can't do that job very well. And so after that, she said, I'll just take care of the diapers. You just go out and make a living. I'll handle all the rest of this stuff. And so, you know, I did a pretty good job of pretending I didn't know how to do it. I'd confess that today, but I wouldn't confess it back then. But thank God for mothers that have blessed us. Amen. Taking care of things that we men didn't want to do to begin with, and probably most of us didn't have the ability to do it. And so we're happy about that. So very, very happy. But at any rate, we're also happy because we have a spiritual mother. And I'm telling you, friend, if it had not been for the church at many, many occasions in my life, I don't know where I would be today. Thank God for a spiritual mother that has mothered me, that has babied me, that has taken care of me. Hallelujah. She taught me how to walk. She taught me how to talk. She taught me how to be right, to live right, to do right, to be what God would have me to be. I thank God for the church. Amen. If you're living for God today and you're walking with God, you can thank God for your spiritual mother that was there to pick you up when you were down, that was there to encourage you when you were discouraged. Aren't you glad for the church today? Somebody clap your hands in honor to the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you know, when you read this story about this Shunammite woman, there's something I want you to notice, the wording of the scripture. The Bible said that it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And what you notice about that is the fact that this woman did not become great because of what happened in 2 Kings chapter number 4. She was not great because that she provided a place for the man of God to live or to rest when he passed their way. She was not great because of the fact that she fed him bread. She sustained him with the provisions of her own household. That was not why she was great. The Bible teaches us in fact that she was already a great woman, and that the things that happened in 2 Kings chapter 4 was not what made her great, but it was the fact that she was a great woman, and the things that happened was a result of her being a great woman. Amen. I look at this woman and see her in a different light when I put her in that position of being a great woman, not because of what she did, but she did what she did because she was a great woman. And I believe that's what happens where the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned, that there are many things that the church does not to be a great church, but because she is a great church. We love souls because it's a great church. We love the lost because it's a great woman that's in this house today. We love to worship because we're a great woman. I don't mean today to sound boastful or braggadocious, but I'm just telling you, I believe the church is the greatest of all in the world today. There is not going to be any body, any kind of group or any kind of club or whatever that is going to surpass the Church of Jesus Christ. She will love you when you're unlovable. She will care for you when nobody else cares for you. She will pick you up when you are down, and she will help you when there seems to be no help. Hey, I feel like praising him today. Amen. Let's give the Lord another praise offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It said that in Shunem there was a great woman. And as a result of her greatness, she constrained him to eat bread. Amen. This woman received her miracles as a result of her life, not the intermittent or frantic pursuit of a fleeting opportunity. You know, we are living in a time where it seems that that's the prevailing attitude of people. They just want to take advantage, or they will have a frantic pursuit of a fleeting opportunity. They know, I got to get a hold of that. This woman didn't have that kind of intermittent spirit and said, I'm going to take advantage of this situation. No, friend, she received the miracles because of who she was and what she was. This is the reason why that we cannot afford to be a church that just takes advantage of certain opportunities, but that we on a daily basis are touching God and living for God and walking with God. For you never know when God wants to perform a mighty work in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you'll have to forgive me today. It's been almost 3 weeks since I preached, and it sure feels good to be in this pulpit here this morning. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Amen. Her actions were not based on a desire for gain, but was simply the result of what she was. Amen. She did not base her actions on just mere impulse. It was not because that she had a desire for gain. She didn't say, let's bring this preacher in. Let's bring this prophet of God in, because maybe if you'll come by our house, we'll be blessed. No, friend, she had a greatness about her that said, I perceive this is a holy man of God. Let's bring him in our house and let's help sustain him. I want to tell you, friend, there has got to be a spirit among us that says there are some things that we need to pursue, not for gain, not because we want the blessings of God, but simply because it's just our nature. It's in us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are the spiritual mother. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We know that many people are just mere creatures of impulse. Amen. People do things impulsively. But whenever you have a conduct within you that causes you to act based on principle, amen, it brings a stability to you. And a church is stable when they can react, or they can act on situations, not just on impulse, but because it's just who we are. What do you mean, Pastor? When someone falls in this altar, and it does not matter how many times they failed, how many times they backslid, how many times they walked out on God, how many times they have disappointed the church, how many times they've disappointed the pastor, and when they fall on that altar and their tears are flowing down their face, and mama looks at her baby and says, that's my baby, that's my child, I gotta do what I gotta do to save them. I'm not gonna let them go to hell. I'm gonna help save my babies from hell. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. It's not impulse. It's mama coming out. It's mama saying, I'm going to help. I'm going to save. I want to do something that makes the difference in my baby's life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember reading a story. It's been years ago, now several years ago. And I believe, if I remember correctly, it was whenever they had this severe earthquake in Armenia back, I don't know, 8-10 years ago. And the story was told about a mother that was buried in the debris along with her baby. And I hope I have the story correct. But I believe, if I remember right, that the mother had a small amount of water, and when that water had ceased to be, and they had drank all of it while they were under this debris and they were being searched, that this mother cut her finger and put it in the mouth of her baby and had her baby suck the very lifeblood out of her body to sustain her baby so that her baby could live. I want to tell you, friend, mama will do things for you that nobody else will do for you. Mama will help you when nobody else will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, mama will help you when nobody else will help you. Mama will do things for you that nobody else will do for you. I want to tell you that sometimes she will prick her finger and let you suck the lifeblood out of her because she's interested in you living and not dying. Oh, I hope there's a spirit in this house around here that says we are more interested in saving souls than we are in destroying souls. Let there be a spirit of motherhood in the house that says we'll do whatever it takes. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me just pause long enough to say something here. Amen. Since it's mostly adults in the house and that the children are out and the young people are out, church, we got to understand and listen, I'm not making room or giving license for sin or immorality or doing stupid stuff that we've all done. Can I hear a witness? Amen. But you know, mama has a way of realizing her babies, even though they're teenagers, they still don't really know what they want. And they still are suffering with some imbalance and inability to reason. You can't reason with a 16-year-old when they get their mind made up on some crazy thing they want to do. Can I hear a witness? Amen. You can take them in the back room and lay them over the bed and beat the tar out of them, but you still won't change their mind. If they got their mind made up to do something crazy, they'll figure out a way to do it anyhow. Can I hear a witness? Amen. Come on, saints, help me out here today. Amen. Teenagers are some of the craziest creatures in this world. Well, maybe y'all didn't raise the three like I raised. Hallelujah. Amen. They do crazy stuff. And then hope that you don't find out about it. And try to cover up. You know, they don't want you to know everything. Young people are, they have an imbalance. They go to the extreme one way or the other. Come on, church, help me out here now. Amen. I'm telling you, you sometimes cannot reason with a teenager that is so, their whole physical nature, their whole physical, you know what? Sometimes they've got to go through some things where they're laying face down in the mud and realize I made a mess of things. I had destroyed everything. I've lost my morals. I've lost my virtue, and reach a point sometime where they finally get a hold of something and say, you know, I think I made a mess of things.
Yeah. Right.
And go running to mama and say, mama, can you help me?
Right.
You know what? I'm just going to say this to the church this morning because I feel like saying it. And I feel like it's time to say it. Amen. I thank God for our young people. But don't get your eyes so focused on these teenagers that you lose your victory, or you lose your relationship with God, or you lose your ability to love them and care for them. They're going to do some dumb things. I don't care how hard you try. And it doesn't matter how hard I try. It doesn't matter what I do, what kind of effort I put forth, how much time I spend with them. Amen. How much I love them, how much I care for them, how much I get on their case, whatever I say to them, in spite of everything you can do and I can do, they're going to do some of the dumbest things that you ever seen in all of your life. It's say, what are we going to do? Let's be a mama. Let's be a church that when they come to their senses, that there's an altar that they can come to. There's a mama that they can run to. There's a church that they can fall in the arms of the church, and the church lift them up and save their soul from hell. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you were perfect teenagers? Do we have any perfect teenagers? Sister Oak said she was. Only problem with that is there's nobody left living to confirm that. I'm sure if we ask her mom, it'd be a different story. Do I have any witnesses here today? What I'm trying to warn us about is that if we're not careful, we can get so caught up in our youth group and their failings and their mistakes and their faults and the things that they do that we stand around, amen, and we let that control where the church is and who the church is and what the church is. I'm going to tell you, the church is a mama. Amen. She's not a judge sitting in a high court somewhere just waiting to pass sentence on somebody that don't know their head from a hole in the ground. She's got to be a mama that says, I'm here to help you. And when they fall on this altar again and they're weeping and praying, we need to be right back there with them saying, we're here to help you. We're here to save you. We're here. Come on. That's what a great woman is all about. That's what a great woman is. She knows when there's a need and she responds to that need. Somebody say amen. 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 I'm not even on my notes this morning. You just have to forgive me. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you what a little bit about the story real quick. Here's a woman. She has a son. She's been given a son. She's a miracle mother. She was barren before. She got a promise. And it was all because of who she was. It was because she was a great woman. And she knew how to touch God. She knew how, amen, to sustain. She knew how to work. She had a great spirit about her. And as a result of that, God gave her a son. That son became of age and he could go out in the field and work where his father was. And the Bible said it fell on a day that he was there and he's cried, my head, my head. And the daddy said, take him to his mama. Yeah,
right.
Praise the Lord. You see, the Bible talks about the field being the world. And if our children are going to suffer, it'll be in the world that they live in. Come on, church. They're bombarded with the most ungodly, filthy. Praise the Lord. They're bombarded with some of the most immoral spirits of our time. Amen. And I'm going to be careful, but I'm just going to tell you, we live in a crazy world. When I got out of my vehicle yesterday at Publix and I start walking up to the store and here's a young lady. I'm not talking about a mature woman. I'm talking about a young lady. She could not have been more than 18 to 20 years old. She was very much with child. Her breeches were down to here and her shirt was up to here and she's walking in Publix with her belly hanging out. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, my God, where have we arrived at? What is the state of our world that a mother with child could be so uncaring and so low in her morals that she has no inhibition. Come on, church, and you're thinking, where is it coming from? You know where it's coming from, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But all I want to tell you is this, that we live in a time where our youth in the world that they live in are being barraged and bombarded. I know what I'm talking about. When the young ladies of our own assembly right here have been accosted by other young ladies at school to get into a lesbian relationship. Don't tell me that we don't live in a wicked world. Don't tell me that we don't live in ungodly society. Anyway, he was out in the field. And it was in the field where he said, my head. It's out in the field. It's out in the world where our children have the most problem with their head. Their thinking goes totally wild, berserk, crazy. It's right. But it's out there in the field. It's out there in the world. It's they're being affected by the place that they are in. And it affects their thinking. And so, Daddy says, send her home. Send him home to Mama. Mama holds this child. This child dies in her arms. She takes him up and she goes in that room that she had provided. This great woman. And she lays him down in that room and closes the door and goes outside and says, saddle me a donkey. Where are you going? I'm going to see the prophet. I'm going back to where that came from. And her husband said, you can't go. Said, it's neither new moon or Sabbath. But that great woman. You got to understand, you see, it was only on Sabbath that they offered the sacrifice that she needed. And it was only at new moon that they offered a sacrifice. And Daddy knew that. Daddy understood that it was there. That if she was going to get an answer, she was going to have to wait till Sabbath. She's going to have to wait on Sunday, if you please, if I could use it in our everyday language. Amen. It's going to have to wait till a special time before you can get the answer to what your problem is. Amen. She said, oh no. She said, you just saddle it. Everything will be all right. Here is a mama that there wasn't enough Sundays in her life. Amen. She said there wasn't. There's not enough Sundays. I know it's neither new moon nor Sabbath. But you see, I understand right now there's not enough Sundays in my life to get what I need. You understand where I'm at, church? We got to get to a point sometime where we realize that there's not enough Sundays for us to get the job done. Sometime we got to take that extra step. Sometime we've got to make that extra move. Sometime desperate times demand a desperate response. And when you realize there's not enough church going on, there's not enough Sundays in my life. I've got children that need to be saved. We've got young people that need to be delivered. Their heads need to be touched. Their lives need to be affected. We got to have more. And so what I tell you I'm going to do, I'm going to go back and have me a prayer meeting. I'm going to go to the house of worship. I'm going to find out nobody else may be there. It may not be the right time, but I'm going anyhow because I've got a need. I'm a mama with a baby who has a need.
Praise the Lord.
She didn't have enough Sundays in her life. Amen. I'm telling you, kids are going to do some crazy things. Sometimes you're going to hear things about what this teenager did or that teenager did. Don't let that get you so wrapped up.
Right.
In their mistake and their failure that you can't come back and focus on where the real help's going to come from.
Amen.
Come on, saints.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not looking at you blaming their mistakes on you. Because it doesn't matter how good a parent you are. Every child has their own will. And while much of that can be molded and things can happen and good things can come out of their life and they can, you know, when you give them a good foundation, the Bible teaches us to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. There is that training that must be done. And we don't just leave them to the whims of what they desire and what they want to do whatever they want. Do I hear a witness? But you train them and you teach them. But in spite of all of your teaching, all of your training, sometimes children are going to do some dumb things. Their head's going to be affected by the world that they're in. Hallelujah. And the same mama that gave birth who understood where that birth came from. The same mama that understands where it all started. He's not going to look at daddy and say, why did you have him in the field? Come on, church. Mama doesn't look around starting to point fingers about who's to blame for this child's condition. You know what she does? She just says, I'm going where the help comes from. I'm going back to where the need can be taken care of. Oh, praise the Lord. You say, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you can do where your children are concerned. Go right back to where the help started from. Amen. Go back to your knees. I know sometimes discipline is necessary. As a matter of fact, discipline is absolutely important. Your Bible and my Bible teaches me that if we don't discipline a child, we will condemn their soul to hell. Irregardless of what our governmental agencies will tell us about disciplining a child. A child must be disciplined. Got to be disciplined. Got to be trained. Got to be developed. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you can teach them all day long not to lie, and they'll turn right around and look you right in the eyes, and they'll lie to you. Anybody feeling any relief right now? Amen. They'll lie to you. You know, I do want to say this. I do appreciate the fact that while I'm aware of some things that my children did that they should not have done, I thank God that we didn't have a great deal of problems with them. I mean that. In fact, I know some things they did they don't think I know they did. They still think it's hid, but I still know it already. The other side of the picture is there's stuff they did that I still don't know about. That some of y'all might know about. Amen. But they're not talking, y'all not talking. But children are human. I'll tell you right now. You can wear their hiney out, and they'll turn right for lying, and they'll turn right around and lie to you again. And you know what? You don't have to train them how to do it. They're born to lie. You got to teach them how to tell the truth. You still with me? But you see, they get out here in this world and their will and their desires and their all their things that they have and that they're trying to develop in their own life. It's being affected, being influenced because of the field that they're in. It's the world. It's the beating down of the heat of our time. Amen. It's a great woman who knows where to put the babies. It's a great woman who knows how to put a youth group in the hands of God. Come on, church. Praise the Lord. We can spare ourselves a whole lot of frustration if we'll put the babies where they belong. If we'll put them in the hands of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel His presence. Amen. Does that mean that you don't know? I don't mean that you don't correct a child. That doesn't mean that you don't deal with situations. I'm just telling you that sometime you reach a point where there's only one place to put them. They're at that place where there's only one spot. Put them where the miracle started. Put them where it all began. And then come back and say, hey, amen, God, I got to have your help. Hey, amen. Not enough Sundays in my life right now, Lord. There's not enough Wednesday night Bible studies and Sunday morning Sunday school and Sunday night church. Right now, God, I've got to have a special encounter. I've got to have a special touch. I've got to have a special time, a miracle of blessing, of help. It's got to come right now. It's a great woman who understands that sometimes there's not enough Sundays to get the job done. Sometimes it's Thursday and it's going to be a while before Sunday gets around. Sometimes it's Monday and Sunday's just passed. And you find out it's a long way to the next Sabbath day, the next Sunday, the next opportunity. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this baby, put it where only He knows how to help. I apologize if this is scatterbrained and everything else. But I'm feeling good in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not anywhere. I'm not even on my notes this morning. I had all these things I brought with me, but it's not doing much good here today. Amen. We are in need. I said we are in need of developing a spirit of a great woman. Let me just tell you this about this woman. I'll tell you why she was great. This woman was great spiritually. She was great in hospitality. She was great in discernment. She was great in meekness. She was great in thoughtfulness for others. She was great in her contentedness. She was great in her wisdom. She was great in her faith. Read this woman's story. And all of these things begin to bleed through and you realize that's why the Bible called her a great woman. Yes. Amen. Let me just point out something here. All these things that she was great in. She was great spiritually. She was great in her hospitality, opened the door. She was great in discernment. She perceived that Elisha was a holy man of God. She was great in her meekness. She acknowledged her husband's headship. She was great in her thoughtfulness of others. She took care in providing for the prophet's comfort. And I brought this out last time we were in the pulpit. That she had learned to live with unfulfilled desires. Amen. She was a woman that when the prophet said to Gehazi, his servant, ask this woman what she wants. And she said, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm contented. Did it mean she didn't want a baby? She didn't want a son? No. She had a desire. But she had not had a son. And was disappointed because in that time it was really almost like a curse if you didn't have children. If you were barren, people looked at you as being an accursed individual. So there was this inward desire as a woman that she wanted to be a mother. She wanted to have a child. But she had learned to live with her unsatisfied desires. She learned to cope with that. Now here's what I want to point out. She learned how to be content and not be bitter at the same time. Let me tell you something about disappointment. Disappointment can make you bitter because you didn't get what you wanted. Come on, church. I have watched people come up for prayer to get prayed for. And when it did not happen, they walked away with a bitter look in their eyes, in their face. I have heard people blame God because they had a desire for something and it never came to pass. And they became bitter. I can tell you about people that's not living for God today because they got bitter in their heart as a result of their disappointments. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to think about. Because I'm still talking about this great woman, this great church. Here is a woman who was disappointed, probably on many occasions. She probably thought that maybe that was the case, but then only to discover in process of time and of life that that was not the case. And she had learned, though, to live. She did not let her disappointment at unfulfilled desires stop her from being what she was. It didn't cause her to become so bitter that she failed to see the holy man of God when he passed by. That she failed to open the door. That she failed to provide a place. Follow where I'm at? You see, sometimes we can get disappointed and our disappointment stifles us, paralyzes us to where we can't go any further. That's as far as we can go in God. We're limited. We're stopped. We can't proceed forward because we're bitter over our disappointment. And our disappointment gets a hold of us so much that we fail to see that there are other things that need to be done. She started finding some joy and some excitement in other things besides raising a baby. Praise the Lord. She was a woman of great hospitality because she saw that Elisha, the prophet of God, and she ran out to where she was. And the Bible said that she constrained him to come in, which means that it took some effort on her part. It means that it was probably difficult for her to get him to come in the house and eat the bread that she had provided. He was probably saying, no, listen, you've got to come in this house. She constrained him. She almost forced him to come in the house and partake of her hospitality. Even though she had unfulfilled desires, those desires that were unfulfilled and the disappointment that was associated with that didn't cause her to be bitter. We've all been disappointed. Come on, church. I said, we've all been disappointed. We've all been let down. Huh? Are there things that you wanted to see that you didn't see? Are there things that you had desires for that you didn't see that fulfillment of that desire? All of us can witness that and attest to that, that it's happened in our life. What happens sometimes is we get bitter over that and it stops us. It stifles us. It paralyzes us right there. And we can't go any further in life because we're stalled with this disappointment. This desire was not fulfilled. This dream that we had didn't come to pass. Help us, Lord. Let me say that that can happen where a church is concerned. Huh? That can happen where a body of people are concerned. We can suffer disappointments, losses, various things can happen. If we're not careful, we can get paralyzed because we're so focused on the bitterness of the disappointment. What we've got to learn how to do is there's always going to be disappointments. There's always going to be letdowns. There's always going to be things that's not going to happen the way we want it to happen. And what we have to learn how to do is look around and say, all right, we lost this. We're disappointed here. But what other area can we find some joy in? What other souls can we find some joy in praying them through? What others can we reach for? Who else can we affect and have an impact in their life? I am telling you that we have within us the ability to look around and say, what else can be done for God? I'm coming back and I'm going to worship him anyhow. I'm coming back to the house of worship and I'll pray him through again. If it's the 35th time, I'll do everything I can to help save them. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be what I can be. I'm not going to be so bitter with my disappointments that it's going to stall me and paralyze me in my relationship with God. You know, it's easy to become cynical. Huh? You can be cynical where people are concerned. I can be cynical. You can be cynical. Because disappointments where people are concerned can be so great. Things just didn't happen the way you can pour your time, pour your effort, pour your energy, put everything you got into them, only to see them walk away with no real sorrow. Who real, just, you know, it's like flippant. They just do what they want to do. If you're not careful, that can just kind of stifle you right there in one position. This woman looked around and said, you know what? I think I can build a room over here. I've got room for some things to take place in my life. Let's provide a place. Let me tell you about this great woman. This great woman had the ability to bring God in the house. I'm wrapping up with this. I'm forget the notes. Amen. I'm wrapping up with this. She had the ability to bring God in the house. She was a great woman. She knew how to get God in the house. There's a lot of things, church, we're not going to ever be able to do anything about. But there's one thing we can do. We can get God in the house. Do I have a witness here today? Amen. There's a lot of things we'll never be able to solve. No, there's a lot of things we'll never be able to take care of. There's just some young people. There's just people in general. There's all these things that just going to have to learn. Experience is going to have to teach them some things. Just like we had to learn some things by experience. What do we have to know how to do as a great woman? We have to know how to get God in the house. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to where the prophet is. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know, but it'll be well when I get there. She gets to the prophet. How's your husband? Oh, he's fine. How's everything? Everything's great. About the son, he's well, it's well. She said it's well. You know why she could say it's well? Because she knew that where God was concerned, everything was going to be all right. She got her hands a hold of the ankles of that prophet of God. He told a servant, you go down there and lay. She said, no, I'm not going anywhere till you go. And she constrained him again. You see, she constrained him the first time to come in the house to begin with, and she constrained him again to come back to the house. She knew how to get God in the house. She got the prophet of God, and he began to pray. He touched God, and God restored the child. And he come walking out of the room with the baby in his arms and said, here's your baby. Because she was a great woman and she knew how. Let me tell you something, church. Sometimes what we need to do is forget about everything else and just get God in the house. Because if there's anything that will bring dead babies back to life, and please forgive me for being so crude in the language that I'm using here today, but it's fitting of the story. But if there's anything that will bring resurrection, anything that will bring dead babies back to life, if anything will restore children, young people, teenagers, or whatever it is, it's God in the house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there's anything that'll give us what we need, it's God in the house. This woman knew how to get God in the house, and that's all that mattered to her. She knew if I can just get God. A great woman that knows how to get God back in the house. Would you stand? Hallelujah. And if we can just get God in the house, if we can somehow get his presence in this place, what a difference it will make with those that we want to see saved. Let's lift our hands. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody tell him right now.